Sharing Not Cool Ministries, and I'm going to have to hit the ground running here this evening because we are running short on time, big time. So if you have your Bibles, go over to Romans chapter 8. We're going to start at verse 10. And I'll read from the King James Version, so if you like the other versions, well, forgive me. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, let's look at that and see what that truly means from the Spirit of God. What that verse is saying is positionally. Does everybody know what I mean by positional truth? Positional truth is what God declares that you have right now. I am righteous in Christ Jesus. Amen. So I'm not going to be any more righteous. I am as righteous now as I ever will be. I have the love of God. God doesn't love me. God loves me as much now as he will when I get to heaven. Positional truth. Now, what I have to do is I have to grow in that righteousness. I have to grow in that love. I have to allow that love to develop in me and allow that righteousness to develop in me. But going back to here, positional truth, your body has been declared dead. As far as God is concerned, your body has no authority over you. Your body cannot make you do anything you don't want to do. Your body cannot make you sin if you don't want to sin. If you don't want to worry, your body cannot make you worry. If you don't want to get angry, your body cannot make you angry. Now, it'll have a good case. It'll present a good case. It'll try to persuade you. But as far as Romans 8:10 says, positionally, your body has been declared dead, and you are right now waiting on a glorified body. Amen. Your body used to get its energy from the law of sin and death. Do you remember the law of sin and death in Romans chapter 8:1? There are two laws there, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death was loose in the earth when Adam fell. That law was loosened to the earth. That's when everything got perverted. That's when man changed. Man no longer was in communication with God. Man had an image of God so far as his love is concerned. Man had an image of righteousness. But the day man fell, all that was gone. But the thing is this, when that happened, when that law came rushing in, okay, it gave you a sin nature. Everybody say sin nature. So every person that got born, into the earth, they're born into the earth with a sin nature. See that young man right there? As sweet as he is, as handsome as he looks, he has a sin nature. And one day when he reaches the age of accountability, he's going to have to give his heart to Christ, because if he doesn't, he has the capacity to commit the most heinous of sin. I'm not speaking the ill will of your son, by the way, so I don't want you to get mad at me and start throwing things at me. But the thing is this, as long as we have a sin nature, we can be a Hitler. That's our potential. This is why something has to do with it. People will say, something has to be done about it, excuse me. Some people say, but I'm a good person. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, the thing is this, if I'm born again, that doesn't apply to me. I may sin, but because of what God's already done through the body of Christ, I'm washed as long as I repent of it and move on. So that verse really doesn't apply to me. Let me get back to my message here, okay? But the thing that used to make you sin, that gave your body energy to sin, was your fallen nature. But now your body no longer has the power to rule and reign over you, because God has declared it dead to sin and your spirit alive unto righteousness if you're born again. Is there anybody in here not born again? We can fix that up right now. Okay? We can fix you up right now. So right now, if you're born again, you have a new nature in you, which God gave you. It's the same nature. It's a quickening from the dead. You have been born from above. I remember one day I told somebody I was teaching on being born again. He was like, how do you teach on being born again? You just get born again. See, that's where the church is. You get born again, you don't know what you got. Let me ask you a question, church. Why are you born again? For what?
To get back in communion with the Father.
Okay. Why are you born again, church? To be transformed. That's why you get born again, is to be transformed. You don't get born again to go to heaven. Don't shout me down now. When you got born again, heaven came to you. Heaven is inside of you. You shouldn't be waiting to go into heaven. If you're waiting to go to heaven, you're going to have, excuse my expression, you're going to have hell on the earth. Don't shout me down now. So you get born again so you can be transformed into what? The image of Christ. What is the image that we first have of God? He is love. So we're being transformed back to that image. And the thing that would stop that would be a sin nature. But God says the body of sin has now been destroyed, and sin therefore has no dominion over you. It was made dead because of it. It was dead because of a law of sin and death was working in your fallen nature. But now, everybody say now. The spirit of life, because of the spirit of life, righteousness, the law of the spirit of life, righteousness, brought the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which brought righteousness, now rules and reigns in your spirit. Everybody say, I'm righteous.
I'm righteous.
Now, whether or not you feel like it, you're righteous. Whether or not you act like it, you're righteous. Whether or not you look like it, you're righteous. The thing is, you've got to transform your mind. It's what you said a while ago. You get born again to transform your mind. You got to transform your mind that you are in right standing with God. The Bible says you're justified. You stand before God as though you've never sinned. You've got to realize God is not looking at your sin. Your sin, as far as God's concerned, is gone. He's never going to judge you on your sin. You have to get that in your thinking. You are righteous. You are in right standing. Now, let me say this. When you became righteous, you no longer have rights. I got a right to be angry. I got a right to equality. I got a right. You don't have any rights. You've been made righteous. But you don't have any rights. So every time you try to be right, and because you are right, you think the world ought to measure up or line up with you, you're wrong. Let that sit there for a second. Get the church, say amen. If you can't say amen, say, oh me. Glory to God. Your body now, because you've been born again, it does not have the power to rule and reign over you, but it has a capacity to sin. Why? Because the law of sin and death still exists in the earth. Now, when we get to heaven, or when we get snatched out of here, and God brings the new heaven and a new earth back to this earth, there will be no more law of sin and death. It'll all be taken care of. But for right now, the law of sin and death exists. Now, I compare these laws with gravity. Okay? Gravity is the reason why I can stand here and not float up and hit the ceiling. Gravity is why I can drive my car and hit the brakes and it stops. Gravity does a lot of things for us. We could not live in the earth without gravity. However, there is a law that's higher than gravity. Gravity. Did I say that right at the time? The law of lift supersedes the law of gravity. It doesn't eliminate the law, it just supersedes it. So when I get into a plane and I'm going down that runway and the law of lift kicks in, that plane flies. But that plane is still can be subject to the law of gravity. Even though I walk in the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, I still have the capacity to sin. Now, here's the reason why most Christians sin. And I'm going to get to this in a moment. This is part of the biggest part of my message, and I'm going to try to get to it quick. You are focusing on the wrong thing. Now, every week I've been giving you these small tidbits and small practical things to do. If you start doing those things, I promise you, you will be free. But you've got to practice them. And the stuff I gave you to do is not that difficult to do. But the law of sin and death is going to go, no, you don't. But the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is going, yay, yay, come on, let's do it, let's do it. But the law of sin and death will tell you, you can't do this. You don't have enough power to do this. You're too weak to do this. You're too busy to do this. Yeah, he can do that, but not you. That's the law of sin and death working against you. Every time you focus on your failures, it's the law of sin and death working against you. You read in the Bible that God says you can do things. You're more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in you. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. All those things are available to you, but the law of the spirit, excuse me, the law of sin and death will attempt to talk you out of it every single time. Where do you think fear comes from? Fear doesn't come from God. Fear comes from the law of sin and death. Where does anger come from? The law of sin and death. Where does killing and murdering and all those things come from? They stem out of the law of sin and death. What is it? Where does prejudice come from? Let me just get real with it. Huh? The law of sin and death. So whenever you see it happening, I'm going, oh, I can't believe. Yet you can believe it's the law of sin and death. It's man's sin. It's what man did, and when he disobeyed God, this was the penalty. Amen? Let's go on. Now, see, here's the thing. Here is why a born-again child of God, here's why you will sin. Because even though you don't have the sin nature in you now, but right now what is in you, you have, is what the Bible calls, you have a flesh, or I term it an unrenewed mind. Your mind must be renewed. And I'm going to teach you how to renew your mind. So when you walk out of here tonight, I'm going to give you, it won't be, I'm not saying I'll give you a way that you can totally renew your mind, but you'll be well on your way. Amen. And I can tell you this, when you keep coming to Dominion Training Center, we will make certain that you complete the process. Wow. Don't shout me down now. I wouldn't say if I couldn't do it. All right. All right. So now let me ask you a question. You fill in the blank. Here's how you've been trained to the world. I'm going to give you a phrase and you complete it. I don't get mad. Oh Lord, you've been conformed to the world, sounds like. And good. What you don't know? That's the biggest lie from the pit of hell. There is a method to my. We say these things all the time. Christians say these things all the time. I can't stand her. She just makes me. No, she makes me sick. We say these things all the time. This is what you're doing. You're now operating in the law of sin and death. Don't shout me down now. This is why we're called Dominion Training Center. We train. Amen. We're not here to preach to you. We train. We make sure when you walk out these doors, you know somebody done told me wrong. That's right. Somebody has told you wrong. We were not born knowing these things, but rather the world trained us in these things. How many have said this before? My prayers get answered every once in a while. Here's one back for you old folks. If I see some gray hair, you know this one. Que sera, sera. And we used to sing that song all the time. I still can hear it in my spirit. Que sera, sera. Didn't she just die? Yeah, she just died. That's not in my message, by the way. Now get this. When a person gets born again, even though he receives the Spirit of Christ, his mind has been trained by the world to use these sayings. You know where that comes from? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. In a sincere effort to stop sinning, what most men will do is go through different programs to modify their behavior. And what they're doing is they focus on the fruit and not the tree. Now listen to this. Now you need to get this. Here is my point. I'm going to teach this, and then we're going to exercise this, and hopefully I can say you something else. Go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Now I want you to read these verses, and I want you to tell me what is the subject. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. What is the subject of that verse? Fruit. That's not the subject. Don't shout me down now. You said fruit. Now, some of you said spirit, but the first when you said fruit, this is what I'm saying. We're focused on the fruit. That's the church's problem. Let's look at another one. Pull up John chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. I'm sorry, John chapter 15. You know it. You know this scripture. I am the vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not what? Fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, beareth what? Fruit. He purges it, that it may bring what? More fruit. Go on, please. Verse 5. Go ahead. Go ahead, read it. Fruit. What's the subject here? It's not the fruit. See, it's not the fruit. The fruit, the subject is the vine. The subject is the Father. The subject is Jesus. The subject is not the fruit. But you see, when you read these verses, you instantly think fruit. So you go around looking at fruit. Now get this. You will know them by their fruit. What's the subject there? It's them. But you focused on what? Fruit. So you go around looking at people's fruit. What kind of fruit you got? What kind of fruit you got? The church is focused on the wrong thing. You're focused on your failures. You're focused on the outcome. You're focused on what you didn't do right. You're focused on your problem. You're focused on your circumstances. You're so focused on it, you can't focus on what is right. God never told you to focus on your fruit. God never told you to focus on your problems. He never told you to focus. Listen, how many in here got born again so you could have a life with no problems ever again? I ain't going to lie, I'm in church. I did. I figured if I get born again, I will have no more problems. That was the biggest lie from the pit of hell. Jesus never told me that. But somewhere in somebody's message, I got that. Because I'm not that smart. I begin to start working toward the things. God will make you rich, brother. Glory to God. Always wanted to be a millionaire, brother. Glory to God. See, we're focusing on fruit. Now pull up John chapter 7, verse 13. Oh, we're going somewhere now. John 7:13. Go ahead and read it. Anybody with a strong outside voice? Oh, here we go. John 7. Howbeit, is that the one I wanted? Yeah, that's it. Howbeit, no man spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. Verse 14, please. Go ahead. So now he's being contested. Go ahead. See, it wasn't his doctrine. It was the Father that sent him. Go ahead. Go ahead. I think I'm on the wrong verse here. Go ahead. Go ahead. Yes. That's not it. Hold on. Give me a second here. This is important. We got to have this one here. We have got to get this one here. I think it's Matthew 17. Somebody go to Matthew 17, verse 13. That's not it either. That's not it. That's not it. Say again. I gave you. I know I gave you seven, and that's not right. Try 12. Go to Matthew 12. I'll get it from there. I'll go to Matthew 12. Go to Matthew 12. It's not the one I wanted, but we'll still deal with it. Matthew, the one I'm looking for is the one that said, go to 13. I'll figure it out in a second. I mean, go to 12. Excuse me. Matthew 12. Yeah. No, verse, yeah. Matthew 12, verse 33. I apologize for the confusion. But the point I want to get across here, we're focusing on the fruit, and we need to focus on the tree. Can you bring up 32? No, that's okay. It won't tell me that. Never mind. That's okay. Either make the tree good, and what? Which comes first? You make the tree good, and then the fruit gets good. Or else make the tree corrupt, and then what? The fruit is corrupt. For a tree is known by its fruit. For a tree is known by its fruit. So what is the tree known by? Its fruit. So let me ask you a question. What are Christians known by? You should be known by your new nature. You should be known by your love. You should be known by your personhood in Christ. But now if you have the nature of Christ in you, what kind of fruit should you produce? Love, joy, long-suffering. It's understandable. Now let me say this. Let's just say I had an orange and I squeezed it and pineapple juice came out. What would you say about that? Huh? When I am to ask you a question, see, you now I just set you up. So when I squeeze a Christian and anger comes out, no, it's impossible what you just said. Don't shout me down now. It should be impossible. How can you squeeze a Christian who has the fruit of the Spirit and you put him under pressure, you put her under pressure, and anger and resentment and bitterness and anxiety and worry and fear is the fruit that they show. Talk to me, somebody. Talk to me, somebody. This is real. We're where the rubber meets the road tonight. This is our problem. We're focused on the fruit. Either make the tree good and the fruit good. Let's talk about making the tree good. Are you ready? Here's how you make the tree good. Well, let me first talk about how you make the tree bad. Something bad goes on in your life. You get laid off. You know what you say? Brother, pray for me. I just got laid off. Man, I got bills to pay. I got a baby on the way. I got all these things. I got a car note. I got a house note. Man, pray for me. You got a bad tree. What does the book of James says? The book of James says, how can a brook bring forth both bitter and sweet waters? What did you say a while ago? It's what? It's impossible. That brook going to bring either sweet waters or that brook's got sour waters or bitter waters. It doesn't have both. Are you right? So let me ask you a question. You're a born again child of God. You've been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You have been made rich. But you're going, I'm not laid up. Pray for me, sister. I need some prayer. I covet your prayers. What kind of tree you got? I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus, brother. I've been washed in the blood. I've been saved by Jesus. I hear you telling me that, but when you get squeezed, that ain't what's coming out. May I show you how to make your tree good? Amen. You get laid off. Father, I give you praise. I'm a son of God. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. God, I give you praise that you've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. Now, let me say this. You don't make this as a confession. You get privately in your prayer closet. You go find you a place where you can get along with God. When nobody's looking at you, when it's just you and him, when it's just you and him in the room, and you begin to go, I give you praise. I worship you. I magnify you. And your flesh is going, you better shut up. Your bills are due. Your heart's about to fail on you. Your wife's going to walk out on you. It's bad. Your kids are on drugs, and you in here worshiping God? That's what your flesh is going to say. Forgive me for getting loud, but I'm serious about this. Because I know that's how you act. That's how I used to act. Why? Because when I talk to you and I go, how's it going? Oh, brother. Oh, I'm in the fight, brother. The devil's after me again. You ain't been spending time renewing your mind. You ain't been spending time making the tree good. You are still running with the same old bad tree. However, you have been born again. You have the grace of God. You have the power of God. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, there was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. He said, and I prayed to the Lord 3 times to remove this thing from me. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. Oh, man, what does that mean to me? What does that mean to me? His grace is sufficient for me. The Apostle Paul said this in return. Therefore will I glory in my tribulation. He's making the tree good. That's the tree he had. He wasn't identified by his circumstances. He wasn't identified by his problems. He wasn't identified by the opposition. He was identified by Christ. He made the tree good. Amen. How did you make your tree good? One day you said, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my heart. I will live for you. Come inside of me. I repent of my sins. Make me anew on the inside. You made your tree good. Your tree's good. In the book of Mark chapter 4, it said the sower sows the word. But some fell on shallow ground. And some fell on rocky ground. And some fell on thorny ground. If I got it mixed up, forgive me. But there was some bad ground. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. And he was like, man, I wish I had some good soil. Make the tree good. Did he bear your sins, your sicknesses, your failures, all of that in his body on the tree? Then why are you carrying around to be a corrupt tree and have corrupt fruit? Why are you doing that? Brother, you don't realize the doctor told me the x-ray was negative. Would you please pray on the next x-ray? Yet everything comes out right. I'm not being insensitive. I know where you're at. I've been there. I know how these things work. Yes. Brother, you don't understand. My husband left me. And man, I got bills piling up. Make the tree good. Let me give you a hint here. Those words are in red. What does that mean? Jesus spoke those words. Did he make your tree good? Absolutely. He provided you with a new nature. That's what it means to be born again. Now, here's the problem. You're going to have to get your mind renewed. You're going to have to cause your unrenewed mind or your flesh to die. Everybody tonight ought to go outside, get you a spiritual shovel, and dig you a spiritual 6-foot hole, and tell your flesh, get in, because we're done with you. And kick him in there and start putting the spiritual dirt on top of him. And said he's dead, he's buried. Because what did Paul say? Paul said the body of sin has been destroyed. Oh, I'm excited about this. Glory to God. I'm truly excited about this. So here's what I do. When Miss Craig's over there, she got her sleep on. Man, I'll wake up and never go, hey, how's that heart doing? Hey, how's your retirement coming along? Hey, how is it going with you and your boss at work? How's that coming along? Hey, did you know so-and-so says about your Bible study? Said it ain't it's a bunch of hooey-dooey. You just over there just shouting and screaming. I ain't doing nobody any good. That's how he talks to me. You know when I wake up, what I say? I give you praise. You are my Lord. It's not about what they say. It's about what you said. You said you asked me to do this many months ago, and I didn't do it when I should have. So I've asked you to forgive me, and you have. So I give you praise. It's your Bible study. It ain't mine. And what you do with it is your business, not mine. If you want one person to show up, I'll preach like this to all the one of them. Makes no lick of difference to me. How me and my boss doing good? I'm loving on the person. I'm loving on them. I'm doing God praying for them. Oh, I give you praise. I'm praying. You know why I'm praying for them? Because I don't have the problem. They're the ones in trouble. Don't shut me down now. Just because you hate on me and you may say things about me and you treat me like yesterday's newspaper and use me as a doormat, you know what? You know what? I'm praying for you because you're the one in trouble, not me. Come on, somebody. I've been set free. Glory to God. I'm free. See, I didn't wake up this morning for you to love me. I didn't. I could care less whether you love me or not. That's between you and the Lord. What I woke up this morning was is to serve you, to love you, and to help you grow in Christ. That's why I'm here. I'm not here because you go, he's a pretty good preacher. I may not be in your opinion. You may hear this tape and think, that guy can't preach worth a dime to me. You know what? I'm not moved by that because he called me to do this. Glory to God. And so I wake up at nighttime and I said, devil, man, the things that you brought to break me, it's going to make me. And I get over there on my side of the bed and I begin to go, ah, Father, I just give you praise. The greater one lives in me. You love me so much, you sent Jesus to the cross to die a horrible death for me because you love me. You have value upon me. I know who I am. I'm not some knucklehead, some black man, some Negro. I almost got the other word now. Some Negro that the world thinks is no good. That's not who I am. No, I'm a child of the Most High God. That's who I am. And I begin to tell that, and you know what's happening? My flesh is going, oh, I don't need, I'm good. I just get excited. My flesh going, no, 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 no. And the devil says, hey, demon, listen, you go tell Brother Craig this. You tell him that we're going to kill him before his next birthday. And I hear that, and I go, well, bring it on, big boy, because my life is to pick up or lay down, and no man takes it from me. Glory to God. And my flesh dies. I said my flesh dies. My flesh dies. And every single person in this room, even the one hearing this recording, that's what you need to do to get your flesh to die. You start doing that, I promise you, within a month or so, your flesh will be going. You'll say 10 hut, and your flesh will go, oh, you in charge now, huh? It'll come to attention. It'll begin to listen to you and start to talk back to you and say, you ain't got no power. You can't stop me. I can make you do anything I want you to do. Look, watch this. See this so-and-so? Now gawk at her. what happened to brother so-and-so? Now go gossip about him. It's what your flesh says. But when your flesh is dead and it tries to rise up, you said, I said, shut up. When I get up on Thursday mornings and I want to go out and barbecue, in my part of the city, it knows, can't any rain come near my dwelling. Just can't. Let me ask you a question. I hope I don't sound like I'm bragging, but it's true. How many times since we've been over here in this location, you've been rained on a Thursday night coming over here? You can't think of one. Well, what happens? What you gonna do when it happens? See, there is your unrenewed mind. Instead of you going, glory be to God, I see the grace of God working in your life. I see the power of God being generated to being a transcendent. You want to come with this? Yes, the law of sin and death says, Murphy's law says, if it's happened that many times, or if it ain't happened that many times, you haven't had rain, man, you're getting closer and closer to rain. And you know what I said about Murphy's law? Take that mess out of me, out of you. I don't want to hear it.
Amen.
I don't want to hear it. Why? I'm going to keep renewing my mind. I don't care if you become my worstest enemy. I'm going to still love you. Amen. Somehow, I'm going to love you. Amen. It may seem hard. I may miss it. But you know when I miss it, when I lose my cool with you, you know what I'm going to say? Father, forgive me.
Amen.
I blew it. That's not who you made me to be. Mm-hmm. I'm a child of God. I have been transformed, shaped, fashioned into the kind of love that suffereth long, is patient and kind. It does not take into an account of wrong suffered. I have the kind of love that bears all things, believes all things. I have the kind of love that never fails.
Amen.
That's who I am. And my flesh goes, arrk, arrk, arrk. It tries. I'm in control. The Spirit of God in me is in control. So therefore, I am free from your criticism. You don't like black people? You better get used to it, because in heaven there's going to be a whole bunch of us up there. You don't like loud people? Get used to it. There's going to be a whole bunch of us up there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Start putting your flesh to death now. When you leave this meeting tonight, don't allow these words to escape you. You get in your car and you find something comes up in you don't like. You go, that's it. It's on. But don't focus on the fruit. Focus on the tree. And say, I'm a good tree. Hey, I'm a good tree. I'm a healthy tree. I produce good fruit. I produce fruit that's worthy for God to come and pluck off my tree.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Do you remember when Jesus went to the fig tree and he was looking for some fruit? What if Jesus came to your fig tree and looked on your tree? Would he find fruits of righteousness? The fruits of joy? Listen, I'm going through something right now that 5 years ago would have knocked me on my rear end. But you know what I'm going? I'm going, I am so happy. Not happy, I'm just so full of joy. And I had to pinch myself and go, why are you so joyous? Because my tree is good. Come on, somebody. My tree's good. I'm not living by my fruit. Oh, it's big. It's big. And fear tries to come. But my tree says, listen, you have built yourself on the sayings of Jesus. And the wind may blow, and the storm may come, but your house will not fall.
Amen.
Glory to God! Are you hearing me? Are you getting this? We are this far from changing our circumstances, and we don't even know it. And all you got to do is to open your mouth and begin to dwell on the tree instead of the fruit. Now, I can tell you this. Remember this. The law of sin and death is going to fight you. But it cannot overtake you. Why? The body of sin has been destroyed. Now, you start doing things like that, and you'll see your flesh die. Do you know what that actually is? That's the power of God flowing through your body, flowing through your being. That is the grace of God actively at work changing you. That is your faith being released and the Holy Ghost taking the grace of God and fashioning your tree to where when the storm comes, you will not fall. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you heard somebody preach this message in one of your churches you go to? Huh? Practical stuff, man. Simple stuff. People come to me and say, Pastor, I think I got a devil. You ain't got no devil. You know what you got? A lack of truth. And all you need, not hearing me preach, but you need to go home and listen to yourself preach. You need to go home and look in the mirror and said, self, that's God in that suit of clothes. That's God living in there. That's God that has made you. That's God living in you. And never again will I talk down about you ever again. Some of you say, man, I'm just so clumsy. Man, I can't believe I'm so stupid. You know what that is? It's the law of sin and death working against you. It's allowing you and letting you and making you focus on the fruit and not the tree. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care if you got sickness and disease in your body. Quit focusing on the sickness and disease and start focusing on, by his stripes, I'm healed. And you think, but Pastor Craig, I did it for 2 hours and it doesn't change. The law of sin and death got you back looking at the fruit again. And you tell me stuff like that, that's all I can tell you. You're operating now in the law of sin and death. Did you get this message tonight? This ain't even a fourth of what I'm going to preach. Ain't even a fourth. But I want to get this out because I want you to be able to go home, leave here tonight, and you know what? Leave here tonight and just beat the devil head in. And you know what? Next week, you're going to get another nugget. You're going to keep getting these nuggets until you become trained and developed and be a fighting machine and saying, devil, you no longer own me. Amen. You'll wake up in the morning, you'll go, I'm loved of God. How can I fail? You'll get a phone call at 9:10. Listen, the transmission in your car has just gone out. You know what you need to do? It's dance a jig and said, greater is he. Listen, when they knocked up my window out of my truck, I never had a sad day. Now, I wasn't happy that my window got knocked out, but I can tell you this, he didn't take me back. He wanted to. I wanted to go, I'm riding around. And it was one of the cold days that we had in the last month or so. And it was cold. And every time I'm driving that truck, man, my wife back there, she just all huddled up. And I know she's cold because she's cold natured. And I got home and I had to get all that glass out. And I wanted to go, some knucklehead. You might have to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The greater one lives in me. I can do all things. I'm not moved by what I see, but I'm moved by what I believe. Man, I got to sleep on that glass and got it out of there and so on and so forth and got in the bed and went, had a great night's sleep. Woke up next morning and realized, uh-oh, the wind is out in my truck. Got on the phone, tried to get them to fix it. They can't fix it until the next day. Well, I got stuff to do. But a greater one lives in me. I have been delivered. I don't care what my circumstances say. I've been delivered. I keep saying this, but I'm going to say it one more time before I close tonight. How many of you remember the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and the bad Negro? That's my version. It's my version. It's really a Bendigo, but I say a bad Negro. And the king said, you'll bow. And they said, no, king, we're not going to bow. We're not going to bow, king. He says, well, listen. When you get to that furnace, you'll bow. He says, King, maybe our God will deliver us and maybe he won't. But I can tell you one thing for sure. We ain't going to bow. So the king got a little mad and said, heat that sucker up 7 times. That thing was so hot when they opened the doors up, his men instantly, they became crispy critters. They burned up quick. You know what they did? They should have broke and ran. You know what them knuckleheads did? They walked right on into the furnace, into the fire. And they were in that furnace. And the one guy next to the king said, King, I thought we put 3 in there. He said, we did. There's a 4th one in there now. And he said, he looks like the Son of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Why didn't Jesus come in there with the holy angels and go, whoosh, and put the fire out? Why didn't they go, and be gone? Why didn't they? You see, it tells me this. You didn't get born again for God to keep you out of all circumstances. Can I say it again?
Yes, sir.
You didn't get born again so that you wouldn't have any more problems in life. No, he said this in Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Well, did you go through the valley? But you know what you'll do? You'll go there and you'll start expecting your fruit and you'll camp in the valley. You're supposed to go through the valley, not camp. You know why Jesus didn't put that fire out? Because he's Lord over the fire. Now get this. He's Lord over your circumstances. Now you know why he's never take control of your circumstances? Because you're too busy going, oh Jesus, why did you let this happen to me? I pay my tithe. I go to a good church. I raise my kids right. I pray every day. I missed one day, Jesus. But I read my Bible every day. You see what I'm saying? That's why he can't deliver you from the fiery furnace. Because you're too busy looking at your fruit. You're looking at what you're going through. Keep your eyes on him. Let your flesh die. Let me ask you a question. If you left the earth, where are you going? So what are you worried about? You got a good deal either way it goes. Why are you afraid? Man, when I was in the hospital, and they said, now, brother, you can die. And that revelation hit me. I said, well, bring it on. Man, it finally hit me. Death has no victory over me. If I die, well, poor Miss Bonnie got to live the rest. She'll be well taken care of. But I guess she'll live without me. But I'm going on to heaven. And I ain't going to be looking back going, I hope she's doing okay. I hope Robert's doing fine. I hope Lewis is going to do all right. I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
And you ought to say the exact same thing.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord over your circumstances, ladies and gentlemen. No matter what you're going through, he is still Lord as long as you let him be Lord. As long as you exalt him as Lord. As long as you spend your time worshiping and praising him. Why? What does that do? You think Jesus gets all charged up when you praise him? Well, he does. But do you think he says, man, now I'm going to help you? Is that how it works? No. But your mind gets renewed. Your mind begins to go, wait a minute. This is my mindset. Do you know why most people's faith don't work? Because you think faith is a moment. You think faith just happens here and there, but faith is a mindset. You got to have faith. It got to be your mindset. When I speak to that rain on Thursday, it's not coming. When I say I'm going to do something, it's going to happen. In a few minutes here, we'll pray for the sick. And I promise you, when we pray, whatever it is on you, it's got to go. Because I'm not believing just for this moment. I'll keep on believing. Yes. Faith is an attitude. It will work. Why? Because I have been born from above. I have dominion. I have authority. Whatever I say is the way it'll be. If I say bind it on earth, guess what? She bound, dude. She bound. Well, what if it keeps going? There goes the law of sin and death working with you. You got to stand under the law of spirit, life in Christ Jesus. It's working. It's working. It's working. It's working. Get out of the way. Let it work. Get your mind renewed. Make the tree good. Let me stop there because I can go. Man, I can preach this all night long.